Welcome to the One Hop Podcast. Our goal for this podcast is to equip you to live a life of prayer, individually and corporately. God is raising up watchmen, these communities of intercessors around the globe, and we have such a privilege in Omaha to join the Lord in rebuilding David's fallen tent for ceaseless prayer and worship to rise as an incense before him. We're so glad that you joined us today. Well, it's the usual suspects again here sitting in the podcast studio. I am Kristen, and I'm sitting here with...
Isaac.
Andrew.
And we're back on the wagon. Is that the right way to say it? We had taken our little break, and now we did the March, and now we're back in April, and we'll have two parts this month, so we are excited to be back and really staying true to what we have committed to do.
Yeah.
And March, I know we just started in April, but March was a crazy busy month for us. So we had Vertical, and the last podcast, we had Hannah Verboon, which was so much fun to just interview her and talk with her. And big news, she's moving back to Omaha.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah. So she actually flies out today.
Oh,
she
awesome.
Had her last set at David's Tent last night.
Wow.
And so she may be, who knows, she might be in and out of our podcast. She may be in and out of the prayer room. I know she wants to get settled and just kind of figure out what normal is going to look like here in Omaha, but we're really excited to have her back. And we've had a prayer conference. Isaac and Becca had a new baby, a little girl.
So
any updates on that? Are you sleeping at all?
We were, and then the past two nights have been horrible. So
that's a yes and a no altogether.
Yeah. Becca's pretty frustrated with...
Yeah.
And then Carter's throwing fits, which is normal.
Right. But, well, then you have a dog.
And the dog is horrible. So, real quick, I'll be really quick. So the dog jumps the fence, and so then we got a shock collar, and he still jumps the fence.
Oh, of course.
And then we recently just got a leash for him, a really long leash that we can just put him back there, and now he digs in the yard. So he just does everything wrong, and he's from the devil.
Well, had you talked to me before you got the animal, I would have suggested no.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just so... Because you really need that on top of the baby sleeping the new...
Yeah, and last week he was having diarrhea in his cage, and he's horrible. But he's nice. He's sweet, but he's horrible.
But you'll get past that too, and it'll be great.
Yeah.
They don't grow out of that.
They don't grow out of that, that's true. They don't. Well, something else we started, and I don't know if you guys want to talk about this too, but we have so much going on. So we just started an internship at the House of Prayer, and we have 10 people
Woo-hoo!
That are part of it.
Yes.
Which has affected the people in the prayer room, and that has, last week we had a night, we had like 16 people in the prayer room. I took a picture.
Yeah, it was amazing.
That's never happened.
It is.
Wait, it happens on Friday mornings with the
kids.
Right,
with the kids.
But
it was pretty intense.
Yeah.
There was something that was going on in the spirit that night.
Yeah.
We hit the mark.
Yeah. Oh, it was so awesome.
Yeah.
It was so awesome.
Yeah, and we even, like, there were a ton of prayer leaders that came up.
Yes.
We did rapid fire prayer. And we had,
it was so awesome.
I think we went late.
We did.
A little late, because at the end there were like two or three prayer leaders that wanted to come up.
What the heck? How awesome is that?
Yeah, it was very awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. Anything, Drew, you have to add to any of the plethora of all of that going around in the atmosphere here?
No, I was excited with all the people. I mean, surprised, actually, by how many are wanting to get involved and in the prayer room. And it's exciting.
I agree. I think it's really cool, too. And we've talked about this a little bit, but like for our team, just all being together, there's just that habit, because our classes, we're doing that Tuesday morning at 6 to 7 a.m., and then Wednesday morning at 6 to 7 a.m., and I just think it's good. It's a good, you know, it's just been good to get up, and I've really stayed in that place of getting up early, and whether or not I'm going, this morning I was up and going to run, and it just, I got up, and I'm like, this is awesome. I don't want to lose it. I love the early morning, and I know it's a discipline, and it can be really challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be challenging because we're here at the prayer room so late. Well, and then you have a new baby, and you don't sleep.
Yeah,
so, there,
I want to do what you're doing too, but it's like, no.
No. But I'm really enjoying just that, this beginning now of just getting back into just that kind of a new routine. And hopefully if the weather ever changes and we actually get spring, it'll be really great to get up in the morning and not have to go start my car 20 minutes before I leave. Because, oh my gosh. As I'm eating lunch today and like snow flurries are flying outside the window, I'm like, what? This cannot be April 9th. My gosh.
Yeah.
But what else? What else is on your minds? Anything from the prayer conference that you think, Isaac, you completely missed that because of new baby. So Drew, anything from the prayer conference that was encouraging to you?
You know, I think one of the things, and I'm sure we'll hear about it with Brad and later on the podcast today, but just the getting stirred again of how it's happening everywhere and how it's, that we're not alone in what we do in our little prayer room with usually little people. I mean, that 16 is
a big number.
That's generally not the rule. but yeah, I think just hearing that again is, it's not like anything. I mean, most of the times in the things in the prayer room and the prayer movement, we've heard all of these teachings so many times and they're just presented in a different way or by someone different. And it just hits your heart in a little different way. And it's like, oh yeah. Okay. I remember now. So
yeah, I agree. I would say just having somebody else come in who's been doing it faithfully as well and just doing it longer, it kind of ignited my heart, like, oh, that's right, that's what we're doing, that's what we're going after. And to see other people really engaged in that was, to me, really, that's really exciting, and it makes me think, I feel like we have there's a momentum, and I've heard that from several people over that weekend, too, from the prayer conference, that there's just this, you can just feel this momentum in our city for what God's doing and how he's using us in the midst of that with prayer and worship. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I think it's an exciting time that we're in. And I am excited to hear again from Brad and what he brought, which we do have we did record all the sessions on Facebook Live. So they're all on our Facebook page. You have to scroll back a while. But March 23rd and 24th is when he came. So if you missed it and you want to hear the full all three sessions, just kind of scroll back and you can watch them all. And I don't know, it's good stuff. He had good meat in there to share with us about our own personal lives and then just what God's doing in this global prayer movement. Well, we're going to be transitioning today. We are blessed that. Finally, we're going to get back to reviews by Drew. So
I'm looking forward, anxiously looking forward to
it's true.
The experience.
You know what? Also, Isaac, a follow-up from our last podcast.
Right.
Which podcast is your favorite?
Well, so far.
And which review is your favorite? Were you able to give them?
So far, last month's podcast is my
favorite.
Well, I listened to it, so it does count. But it is my favorite because it is the only one that I've listened to so far. And there was no review. So I'm anxiously awaiting.
That's
right. There are so many other reviews.
Well, but I just haven't listened to them yet.
That's
so.
Right. And Grace, you do have a new baby and you have a dog and you've got an 18-month-old and there's all that.
Yeah.
So
I guess I could, you know, when I'm up at 2 in the morning, you know, I guess I could turn on a podcast and
it seems like the only fall asleep
while rocking Audrey.
Yeah, I'm sure she would love it every bit of that too.
Start him young.
That's right. Well, we're gonna get into this part one of the April podcast, and we're really gonna be looking at we're gonna listen to Brad talking about the global prayer movement. This will be the first part of his teaching, and then in the next part two, we'll listen to a little more of that teaching, and we're gonna get to hear a couple. I think Drew's gonna bust out a couple of reviews for us in this podcast, so that's something to look forward to, and then. We're just really excited to be back, and if you want to just know about what we're doing, you know, we always invite you to come and check us out. We do our intercession sets from 6 to 8, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. Come and be a part of what we're doing, and if you love to pray, come on up and be a prayer leader. If you just want to sit and engage with what we're praying and what we're doing in that hour, those couple hours, just come on along. And we also have just the prayer room open from 2 to 6 where we stream IHOP from Kansas City. And it's just a nice, really a, creating a sacred space for us just to engage the Lord in our personal time, in our, if we're praying for something specific or we're really needing direction, we're creating that here. So enjoy this podcast today, part one of April, and it's the global prayer movement as we move into Brad's teaching. But first, get ready. It's the Reviews by Drew that we all wait for.
Well, welcome back after a very long and sad hiatus to Reviews by Drew. I'm Drew, your host. And today, as promised last month, I said we would have a double portion. And so I did bring a double portion of reviews for you today. So I have two different books to review, and both of them are on the same theme. So just thought I would throw that out there. We're doing our internship like we talked about, and the class that I'm teaching for our internship is on David's Tabernacle. And it's a big phrase that we throw around a lot, and there's really not very many resources out there, and some of the resources that are out there are not great. So I found two of them that I enjoy, that I'm recommending to you today. So the first one is called Enthroned by David Fritsch, and it goes through a number of different questions about the Tabernacle of David, how it was laid out, and has some great things. They have some little notes in here in my first page in my book right here, but I would recommend, it goes through, was it 24/7? How did they do some of these things? Why did they do them? And what our lives should look like as intercessors today. So it's an easy read, and it was a fun one to get through. Now, for those who want to continue going even deeper, there's another one on here. It's called From Silence to Song, The Davidic Liturgical Revolution by Peter Lightheart. Now, I know what you're thinking. In that title, there's already a couple of big words. Well, you're right. This one is a little more academic. In fact, if you've looked through the book, the author is a theologian who teaches theology classes at different seminaries, and he has a bunch of footnotes. I mean, this guy loves to cite his sources, okay? But it is one of the best books out there on the Tabernacle of David. Goes through some of the things of how they actually structured it, why David did it, and how David built upon what Moses actually did. And I think the most exciting part of this book that I learned in here was that David did not let just Levites or just Jewish people into the Tabernacle of David. And remember, they were Gentiles were forbidden from entering the Tabernacle of Moses. Only the priests were able to be in the holy place, and certainly only the high priest in the Holy of Holies. But in David's Tabernacle, the Peter Lightheart makes the case that there were actually Gentiles who not only came, but were part of the regular liturgy of the Tabernacle. So Obed-Edom is one that he highlights specifically. But it's a great, great book, has a lot of great information on there of how David, this period of time, has impacted the rest of history, has impacted the modern church, the modern prayer movement, impacted our personal lives as both Jews and Gentiles. And so that is From Silence to Song, The Davidic Liturgical Revolution by Peter Lightheart, and Enthroned by David Fritsch.
I love that I'm alive right now. Yes. That we're getting to see the advancement of the kingdom of God. Yes. That we're getting to start to feel the intensity of the hour of your return. The beauty of it.
Yes.
Oh, it's so good, Lord. So good. And so I just thank you, and I ask you tonight, would you impart revelation? I pray tonight more than anything, encourage the hearts of your people with that which you are already doing, that we might be able to draw strength from it and move forward in Jesus' name.
Amen. Yes, amen. Lord.
Tonight is Cultivating a Life of Prayer, Session 3. This one's entitled The Global Prayer Movement. I have no ability to whisper longer than I just did. You can probably imagine that, right? All right, so what I want to talk about is something that's happening right now that is unprecedented. I love that word. I love it when it's true. I love it when you're talking about something that's never happened before, or that's happening in a way that's never happened before, or at a magnitude that's never happened before, or an expression that's never happened before. God right now is unleashing. He is provoking an unprecedented move of His Holy Spirit in the earth yesterday, right now. I don't mean 10 years from now. I don't mean a future reality. I'm talking about you've already been on the planet while it was happening, and there's a good possibility you didn't know it. And I want to just come as I get to be the messenger of good news tonight. I've got some reports from around the world that I want to share with you to encourage you about what is happening, okay? But the interesting thing about this this unprecedented thing that's occurring is when something unprecedented happens, our tendency is to misinterpret it. Our tendency is either to not see it, or see it and misunderstand what's being communicated through it, or to downgrade it because it's unprecedented, so it's so weird it can't even be real, it can't be true. We just have this tendency with unprecedented things to kind of push them away. It's what they did with Jesus. I mean, you know, most of the planet didn't know God came to the planet.
Yeah.
God came and died and rose again, and the majority of the planet didn't even know it happened. The most unprecedented thing in human history was completely unknown to the planet.
Wow.
Okay? Yeah. That was the coming of Jesus. So if we're living in a little bit of the dark, even with the invention of the internet, that's okay. We'll catch up, okay? But I just want to say right now, I believe that the Lord is highlighting something, that the agenda of heaven is having a wild expression in the earth, where something is being highlighted and is growing at an unprecedented rate that is very much related to what's happening in this building. First, we have been called a kingdom of priests. You guys probably are familiar with that, Exodus 19. Now, if you obey me and fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you'll be my treasured possession. The Hebrew word is segula. Segula. I just like that word.
Yeah.
You'll be my segula, my treasured possession. Okay? Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. You'll be something different. Whole world's mine, but you're really mine. Follow me. Walk with me. Desire of God's heart was that 100% of the people of God would be the kingdom of priests. That's what he wanted.
Yeah.
So he desired. Well, I just want to say this. The role of a priest, let's not think, from the Catholic upbringing that maybe some of you had, or, you know, whatever other pictures we have of priests. Let's just talk Bible for a minute, okay? So try to get out the other terms and thoughts that you have when you hear the word priest. Let's just talk Bible. The role of a priest was to be in the house of the Lord and to pray and to worship. That's what a priest was supposed to do. They were supposed to offer up offerings. It was worship to the Lord. And they were supposed to offer up offerings as an intercession for those that they were making the offerings for. They were to worship and they were to pray. They were to offer up offerings to the Lord. He appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, to make petition, to give thanks, and to praise the Lord. That's what priests were supposed to do. 2 Chronicles says, Hezekiah assigned the priests and Levites to divisions, and each of them according to their duties as priests or Levites, to offer burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, to minister, to give thanks, to sing praises at the gates of the Lord's dwelling. That's what priests do. So when God is saying, I want a kingdom of priests, this is actually what he was saying that he wanted. He wanted for there to be a group of people who would minister to him, who would offer up offerings, and that would specifically do it in context to, it was his temple, it was his house, but what he was really after was a common place where people would gather and do it, as opposed to people just doing it wherever, however, unregulated. He wanted the people of God to gather together to do it together. So it was done at a common place called the altar, called the temple, called the tabernacle, but it was done at a common place, okay? So that the people of God could do it together. It's the same reason that when we plan a Bible study, we're going to be, we'll be at so-and-so's house on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. It's the reason we have a location instead of ambiguity. Hey, Wednesday night, Bible study. Where? Wherever, bro. Well, that wouldn't work. We'd all be at our house. What Bible passage? You know, Bible study. It's like we pick a place so we can do something together.
Yeah.
That's what this was about. But the assignment for a priesthood is prayer and worship. All right? Next. Now, since it was always God's desire, because, I mean, I just gave you the Exodus passage there. That's Exodus 19. This is God starting the nation of Israel. Arguably, it started with Abraham, but Abraham was one person. Now God is bringing out a nation of people and giving them a national identity and setting them in their place. That's what the Exodus was all about. So this is the start of the nation of Israel in its most formal way. And God is saying to that nation, "Ooh, I like you people. I want you to be for me. I want all of you to be my priests. That's my intent. I want 100% of the people of God to be a priesthood to me." Now, they didn't like the sound of God's voice on the mountain, and they actually complained and said, "We don't want to be a kingdom of priests. Moses, you do it for us. Appoint Aaron and a couple of people, but please don't make us have to do this kingdom of priests thing. It's too scary. God's too big." And so God's like, "Well, I don't really love that plan, but okay." And so God actually acquiesced to the people. And now the intent of his heart, "I call you all my priesthood," he actually now then regulated to just one tribe within the line of the people of Israel. But it was his intention that we would all be it. Okay? Well, since it was always the intention of God, you know, God's Jehovah Sneaky. I do love Jehovah Sneaky. He'll get you. Sneak right up on you. What God does is he is willing for a time to put things on pause. But if it's a desire of God's heart, he's going to get what he wants. But he will, however, pause in order to allow things to play out. But ultimately, when Adam sinned in the garden, God was like, "I'm going to fix this. I mean, we're going to have to deal with this in some ways that are a little tough, but one of these days, I'm getting you back. We're going to figure this out. I am not done here." All right. Same way with this priesthood issue. Because it was a desire in God's heart, it should not surprise us that as we move closer to the return of the Lord, again, 10 years, 50 years, I don't know. But as we move closer, it makes sense that the expression of this priesthood becoming a normal thing within all of God's people become more concrete, recognized, realized, and embraced.
Yes.
I mean, God's going to get what he wants.
Yeah, right.
My house will be called a house of prayer. What he's really saying is, "I'm going to get my priesthood back."
Yeah, right.
The house of prayer and the priesthood, it's the same thing. What does the house of prayer do? Pray and worship. What do the priests do? Pray and worship. Same thing.
Wow.
So God's going to get his priesthood back. It's got other names. It's the same reality.
Wow.
All right? So we're seeing this happen in the final generation. It is rising. I just want to say, it's prophesied. It is promised a restoration of the priesthood. I want to read you this Acts 15 promise that some of you are probably familiar with. The words of the prophets, I'm on top of page 2 if you're in the notes. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this.
On page 1. Sorry. On our notes, it's bottom of page. You're always 1. You're always different. Than
I am sorry. Well, how did I do that? What size font did you print in?
Well, I made narrow instead of regular versions.
You're fine. You're doing great. Just find it. It's in there somewhere. You know, go to your Bible, okay? Acts 15, 15 through 18. All right, here we go. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this. As it is written, "After this I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild, and I will restore it." Why? "That the rest of mankind may seek the Lord." That's why. "Even all the Gentiles who bear my name," as in the entire church of the planet, spare some small percent that happen to be Jewish. The majority of the church in the earth right now is Gentile. So when he says all the Gentiles, put your name in there. I mean, the church of the planet, okay? All right? "All the Gentiles who bear my name," says the Lord, "who does these things, things known from long ago." Now, here's what is stated here. The tabernacle of David, the tent of David, where David was doing the 24/7 prayer and worship thing with the 4,000 singers and musicians we talked a little bit about. God says, "I'm going to restore it, but this time I'm going to do something so unique. This time I'm going to restore it not in Jerusalem only. I'm going to restore it wherever there are people that like me. Everybody that loves the name of the Lord. All the Gentiles. I'm going to restore the tabernacle of David in an expression all over the earth. The tabernacle of David was entirely a Jewish thing, and if you weren't Jewish, you could not go in there. You could not go in there. You could not enter the temple as a non-Jew. This is an expression of the tabernacle of David in a final expression in the earth, wherever the Gentiles are that love Jesus. Wherever there are those that call on the name of the Lord, wherever the Gentile church is, there's going to be expressions of a restored version of the tabernacle of David. It's the house of prayer all over the earth. That's what it's talking about. This is a prophesied reality, and I want to tell you, it's already started. We're late to the party. This is not a future thing. This is an old thing now. I mean, not so old, but it's not yesterday. We've been watching this thing develop. Night and day prayer is filling the earth right now in an unprecedented way. I want to say this to you. Tens of thousands of ministries pursuing 24/7 prayer or already doing it. Unprecedented. It's never been the case. Ever. Nothing ever near that number. Ever in human history. Now, here's what I always thought about. Why would they do that so hard? You know, I've planted churches. I've done mission work. I've been a youth pastor. I've worked in college ministry. I've been a senior pastor. I've done a lot of different stuff. Hardest thing I've ever done is build a house of prayer. Also the most rewarding. But it's the hardest thing. It is the hardest thing in the world to get people to pray and keep coming back to pray. I mean, I've even tried giving them money and they don't do it. It is the hardest thing to do to build a house of prayer because your entire world is trying to get people to show up to a prayer meeting and then come back again next week and again next week. And by the way, their birthday is on week 4 and you want them there on their birthday. It's the hardest thing in the world to do. To build the house of prayer. It's so hard. Why are there tens of thousands of crazy people trying to pull this thing off in the world? I'm talking about head leaders. This represents millions of people. Tens of thousands of ministries. Millions of people. Why would that be the case? Why, what crazy fool would do that? What? Who would do that? Why? This is so hard. So much work. Because the Lord is provoking. Suddenly, millions of people have begun the pursuit of the hardest thing. Suddenly, it came out of nowhere. Why? Because of Isaiah 62, 6 through 7. I have posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. They will never be silent, day or night. No, come on, they'll be silent sometime. Come on, they'll take the afternoon off. They won't do the night thing. Sure, they won't be silent day. No, they won't be silent day or night. Well, who are these watchmen? Tell me about who these watchmen are. You who call on the Lord. Well, wait a minute. I call on the Lord. I believe in Jesus. Yeah, you who call on the Lord, here's the commission. Give yourself no rest and give God no rest. Until God establishes Jerusalem and makes Jerusalem the praise of the whole planet. Can I just tell you right now, Jerusalem is not the praise of the planet. Right now, the planet hates Jerusalem. Right. And the nations around it want to blow it up. Okay? How in the world is this going to be the case? Because one day, Jesus Christ is going to rule in that city with his physical tootsies on the ground. And he's going to rule and reign on a chair, a throne. He's going to rule the planet, and wherever that man sets up shop, it's going to be the praise of the whole planet. So what this passage is saying is, night and day prayer until Jesus is established as the King of the earth. There will be nothing that makes Jerusalem the praise of the earth. Spare the coming of the Messiah. Jesus in the chair, on the throne in Jerusalem. That's what's going to cause the praise of the earth, the whole earth to go, have you heard of Jerusalem? Have you been there? Have you seen him? Have you seen his chair? So big. It's the praise of the earth, and it will not be that way until Jesus is there. This is our blessed hope. We're waiting for this. We're praying for this. Night and day prayer is about this. It's about, come, Lord Jesus, come. It's the church of the earth crying out for the only thing that's going to make everything right, the man. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, coming to the earth and ruling and reigning in Jerusalem forever. This is why night and day prayer furnaces are birthing all over the earth, because actually what's going to bring Jesus back is a bride across the earth in unison with the Spirit saying, come. That's what's going to bring him back. But it not saved people being saved.
Yeah, right on.
You can't have prayer and worship until you have a saved person. But God's not saving to save. He's saving for intimacy.
Yes.
He's saving for purpose and partnership and friendship. He's saving so that we can be a part of the family of God, not so we can puce it. He's saving so we can be a part of the mission and be lovesick worshipers doing what he's doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why he's saving. So what he's going to do is he's going to raise up a prayer movement across the earth, a restoration of the tabernacle of David. He's going to restore the reality of my house will be called a house of prayer. He's going to raise up praise in the nations from every tribe, language, and tongue so that all of the Gentiles who bear his name might be a part of night and day prayer, might be a part of the restored reality of the tabernacle of David, praying and worshiping until Jesus comes. That's the church of the last days.
All right. Well, isn't that exciting just to hear about how the Lord is building something on the earth? And it's not just something that we're doing in our little prayer room in Omaha. It's really something that the Lord is doing on the whole earth. So for those of you who are out there like, wow, this is exciting. I want to be a part of this. I want to give my time and my energy to being in corporate prayer and worship, whether that's in a couple hours a week or in a full-time basis. We want to share a couple tips of how you do that in Omaha. So you don't have to, although it's awesome that the Lord is doing it in all of the nations on the earth, you don't have to pack your bags and move to one of them. You can stay right here in Omaha and do it even.
Amen.
Yes.
So true.
So a couple different ways. We have kind of a couple different ways of getting involved. Of course, the easiest way of getting involved is to come and sit in the seats and to engage with whatever we're doing in the prayer room. Just engage with the Lord even personally in the prayer room anytime, Monday through Thursday, 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. or Fridays 12 to 4. So that's p.m., 12 to 4 p.m., not a.m. that's the easiest ways to come and get involved. Then some other next steps. If you want to pray or to be on a team, so you can be a prayer leader, you can sing, you can help us lead worship, come talk to us about that. And then we have some volunteer staff members who want to commit to maybe 10 hours a week, helping with a couple different sets, helping with a couple of different administrative tasks and things on the base. So that's about 10 hours a week, and we have a lot more information, especially after our internship coming this summer. And then Isaac, tell them a little bit about what it's like to be on staff.
Yeah, so if you are thinking that you want to serve full-time or part-time as an intercessory missionary, I guess those are the two ways, is we offer full-time 40 hours a week, 40 to 45 hours a week, or part-time 20 hours a week to come join us on staff and help us build the house of prayer. And that looks like spending about half your time or a little over half your time in the prayer room, and then the other part of your time doing different service hours, like working on newsletters or cleaning there's a bunch of different stuff. We do kids stuff, a bunch of different things that you can be a part of on that. And yeah, it's awesome. We love it. We all love it. We're so glad. I'm so glad that I've joined staff.
We would love to have you come talk to one of us, email one of us. All of our emails are really simple. They really are the simplest thing in the world. It's our name. So drew@onehop.org.
Yep.
Real easy.
Yep.
So yep. Talk to us, email us, and we'd love to sit down with you and talk with you more about what that could look like for you and your situation or for your family. And yeah.
Yeah. Well, we just want to say thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to sharing more about who we are and what we're doing, and hearing part two of Brad's message in a couple of weeks. So we'll see you then.